or give a devotional whenever we were getting done with youth group there. And so I've been praying about, it's been on my mind about a topic that I wanted to speak on. And right after youth group, just in my morning devotions, I was reading through Hebrews. And just reading through Hebrews, I was just really convicted. It was just really cool to read through Hebrews and just see what Hebrews says about who God is and just see supremacy and his power. And I've been really convicted lately just about relying on my own strength. I feel like we're just in North America, it's just so easy to be comfortable, so easy to rely on yourselves and just get by day, I guess, to kind of get through life. I was really convicted about I guess the lack thereof that I rely on God. And so tonight, that's kind of what I want to look at. I want to look at who God is in Hebrews chapter 1. I want to look at who we are. In another spot, I've been reading through Jeremiah, and then kind of wrap up with kind of this thought of relying on God. And it kind of actually, it's been, obviously it's hard to, you can't have the gospel without kind of that theme, but it's been spoken on a few times. I know I wasn't here, or I was downstairs with the kids Sunday morning, but I guess Jared was talking about kind of how we need to know who God is and who we are in our place, kind of the sin that we have to be able to come to repentance. So it's kind of similar idea. So I thought that was encouraging that Jared had kind of mentioned that in his message. And it just was kind of cool to see that theme because that's what I had already planned out on speaking on. So anyway, we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1, I'm just going to read, I'm just going to go through the first four verses. There's a lot to unpack there for a 15-minute devotion, so hold on tight. So starting verse 1, says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." And then just dropping down into verse 10, says, "And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." So this chapter kind of is outlining two things. In my Bible, in the ESV version, it's labeled or titled The Supremacy of God's Son, and it's kind of it kind of talks about, and we'll see throughout it, it's kind of talking about the Trinity and kind of one true God in three distinct persons, having the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how the Son is just like the Father. So we'll see a little bit of that in the first four verses, but I mainly want to look at the characteristics of God that it's talking about in these first four verses. So in the first verse, we see that in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So kind of this idea of God, I guess, of his communication, the way he spoke through the prophets to the people, kind of how he orchestrated his will. We especially see it with the Israelites. We think of this communication we see through dreams, through visions, direct speech, through symbolic acts. During Sunday school, I was talking to the kids about Joseph, and it's just so cool to see how God works in Joseph's life by enabling him to be able to interpret dreams, and just seeing kind of God working through Joseph and just kind of using him to preserve Israel. So we see how God uses that, and then also I was thinking about, I've been reading through Jeremiah, and we'll jump to that later, but in Jeremiah, we know God appointed him as a prophet at a young age, and spoke through him to Judah and Jerusalem. So we kind of just see the ways that God works in these prophets' lives, speaking to the people. And we see how, just another point is how the prophets and the people that God used, especially in the Old Testament, how they needed to have faith and trust in God. And we see that in Hebrews 11 as well, when it talks about all the people that had faith and God was able to use them. So we just see in this first verse God's hand in orchestrating those events and the people and the circumstances to fulfill his perfect will. And then jumping into verse 2, verse 2 transitions to the time after Jesus, and that's when Jesus comes to the earth. It talks about in these last days. So that's those last days, beginning with Christ's life, his death, and his resurrection, kind of looking at it in a timeline, where Jesus, he isn't just a messenger. He wasn't placed on the earth just as a messenger, but he is the message. In God, a lot of his characteristics are displayed through Jesus' life on earth. And we think of, obviously, the powerful message of him, you know, being the only way that our sin can be defeated, in him taking the weight of our sin and dying on the cross and giving us this access to God that we now have. You know, tonight as we pray, we have this direct connection, this access to God that we get through Jesus, in thinking about the story of salvation and his power to defeat sin, and just thinking of all the characteristics that play into that, showing the characteristics of God, showing his grace and his love and his mercy that he had for us, who he created to send his only son to die for us. There's there's a lot in itself, a lot of characteristics there. I remember when I got saved, just trying to wrap my mind around the fact that the God who created this whole earth, that created the galaxies and the stars, wanted to have a relationship with me, and just kind of trying to wrap my mind around that. It's just so cool to see who God is through that. And then in verse 3, it starts by showing, like I talked about at the start, showing that equality of God the Father and the Son, by describing, he's describing Jesus. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So thinking of Jesus as the radiance of the glory of God, radiance here, radiance, the Greek word, I've got to throw in a Greek word, is agazo, which means to shine, which is light emitting from a source. It's not necessarily light reflecting. It's not Jesus reflecting God's glory. Jesus is the source. Just like you think of how the moon reflects the light of the sun at the in the night, so when there's light, it's not that idea. It's that God the Father and God the Son, Jesus, is the source, is the radiance of his glory, which is very powerful. And then it also says, he is the exact imprint, which that kind of just made me think of a signet ring that kings used to have, where they would press it in hot wax and it would show the exact imprint. And then that would also give the authority of the ring owner. So that's just the start of that, is just showing God the Father and God the Son being identical in their glory. And then it also says, and then a characteristic here in verse 3 is where it says, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. That's pretty significant. When I think about the word, like the word of his power, I think about when someone, kind of what someone's word means to me. When somebody says, I give you my word, I give you my word that I'll do this or I'll be here at a certain time. To me, that holds a lot of bearing to it. And then we think of God's word. And we see so many times, obviously, he's all powerful and he's perfect. So we see so many times, or every time, throughout the Bible, where he delivers on his word, whether that's healing or forgiving or promises or prophecies. God's word is so powerful. We think of John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So that same word that spoke the earth into existence is also the one that upholds it. And then in verse 4, the end of verse 3 just plays into verse 4, just kind of looking at Jesus' position as he sits down at the right hand of God, in a position that's higher than the angels. And that just kind of, it really sets the stage for the rest of Hebrews that's showing the Son's supremacy, and just showing how, obviously, we know Jesus isn't just a prophet or a teacher or an angel, but he is the Son of God, and he's worthy of all our praise and worship and obedience. I had dropped down to verse 10 because I was just looking at, just obviously thinking about who God is and his characteristics. It was just it's so cool to just be in awe of God, which obviously comes with thinking about him as the creator. And in verse 10, it talks about how you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. And that kind of ties together with verse 2, where it says, through whom he also created the world. And I was just thinking about how, like for camp, Tristan and I had to build some stuff down in the basement. Ty's got a woodworking shop down there, and just kind of that idea of building something with your hands, just something that you envision in your mind, or maybe you draw it on paper, and then you assemble it and you put it together, and if you, when you hold it there, you're just so proud of that, and it's just something that's so cool, and you just feel the pride of that, and just thinking about God's incredible accomplishment that it is for him to create this world, creating something out of nothing. And just thinking about the billions of stars in the galaxies, and just the complexities of the earth, even down to just the human body, the human anatomy. I had to look up a couple of facts. The brain generates 20 watts of electrical power, which is enough to light an LED bulb. Human bones, they're stronger than steel. They have a strength per 1 cubic inch. They have a strength of 19,000 pounds. And just something so small that God created is just so incredible. And obviously we look at the earth and in awe and just so amazed. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. So just thinking about just being in awe of God and just knowing he's all powerful and almighty. And then in verse 11 just shows the characteristics of him being never changing and him being consistent. And later in Hebrews 13 verse 8, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So we know that the same all-powerful, all-knowing, gracious God that we see in the Bible is going to be the same forever and always, and we can always rely on him. So just in those four verses, some of the characteristics we looked at, in verse 11, we just looked at him being unchanging and eternal. In verse 1, a great communicator. Verse 2, he's the almighty creator. in verse 10. And 3 in verse 3 of him being radiant, powerful, sustaining, merciful, and redemptive. In verse 4, him being exalted and greater than all others. So I was just super encouraged reading through Hebrews, especially in chapter 1. Just obviously thinking about who God is, and just some of those characteristics that we can rely on. And then in the meantime, I was reading through Hebrews in the evening, and then in the mornings I was reading through Jeremiah. And it never fails to be reminded of our sin nature reading about the Israelites. And just thinking about how sinful by nature we are, and just how we can be so weak and so unfaithful and sometimes self-centered and prideful. Just seeing, it was quite the comparison to be reading through Jeremiah thinking like, wow, that's me right there. And then reading through Hebrews and like, wow, there's this incredible almighty God, that I can rely on in my life. And I'll just, in Jeremiah chapter 2, I'll just read it real quick, kind of what I was looking at. Chapter 2, in verse 26. Obviously, we know that the Israelites, we see so many times the Israelites turning from God, and just their sinful nature, worshiping golden calves and refusing to enter the promised land and not trusting God, and them just repeatedly turning to idols. We think of how as soon as they were delivered from the Egyptians, and they just continued to complain and doubt God. And then further along in the Old Testament, we get to Jeremiah, and we see again the heart of the Israelites. In verse 26, it says, "As a thief is shamed when caught, so the house of Israel shall be shamed. They, their kings, their officials, their priests, and their prophets, who say to a tree, 'You are my father,' and to a stone, 'You gave me birth.' For they have turned their back to me and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they say, 'Arise and save us.' But where are your gods that you made for yourselves? Let them arise if they can save you in your time of trouble. For as many as your cities are your gods, O Judah, why do you contend with me? You have all transgressed against me, declares the Lord." So that's the Lord speaking through Jeremiah. But we just see the heart of the Israelites here after God's done so much in their lineage and for their ancestors and for them. They just continue to kind of fall away, and that's just like us, being so unreliable, and we can be so unrepentant and sinful. And yet, when that repeatedly happens to us in being so weak, we see how God responds. And in chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, "If you return, O Israel, declares the Lord, to me you should return. If you remove your detestable things from my presence and do not waver, as if you swear, as the Lord lives, in truth and justice and righteousness, then nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory." And in verse 3, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." So we just see God, all the characteristics we saw in the first of Hebrews, him just being merciful to the Israelites again, when he could just destroy them with the snap of his fingers. He tells them that they can turn to him, and that they can have glory in him. So it's just kind of cool I just saw that comparison when I was reading through both Jeremiah and Hebrews. And just thinking about that, so kind of taking what we know to be true, kind of these amazing characteristics that we see in Hebrews, and just the characteristics of him, the shortcomings and the weaknesses of man, it just has encouraged me to really rely on him, in not to rely on my own understanding. We can do that in a lot of aspects of life, like in our identity, our daily provisions and needs, wisdom and decision making. And we know he says that if we ask for wisdom, that he'll give it to us. Strength in trials and weaknesses, spiritual growth and holiness, future plans, and even financial decisions. Every decision in life, or what we're going through, he's there for us, and he's orchestrating everything for his good, and he's calling us to rely on him. And so there are just a few more verses that I was really encouraged by going through Hebrews that I knew if I spoke in Hebrews, I just want to read them in closing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." And then in chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us, looking to Jesus," not looking to us, looking to Jesus, "the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." I thought that was kind of a cool summary for what I wanted to talk about tonight.